CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The International Telecommunication Union sounds like it belongs in a spy novel, but in fact, it's at the United Nations. And I learn from Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's here with good news about the ITU, about the UN, about the conflict in Europe now that is drawing more and more countries in. Which side are you on? And what we can presume is a relentlessness by our adversaries. I'm looking at Moscow, I'm looking at Beijing, about all the aspects of the United Nations. Ivana, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. You reported last week for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies that there was a very important election at the UN about the ITU. It is now concluded, and the U.S. candidate, the candidate supported by the U.S. and its allies, won. What is the ITU? What is the significance of this victory? Good evening to you, Ivana.
Good evening to you. Thank you very much for inviting me again to your show. And usually when I speak with you, I bring bad news, but this time I'm very, very happy to bring the good news. Because as you just mentioned, the U.S. candidate won against the Russian candidate in the International Telecommunication Union. So it is an international organization that basically deals with the control of the internet, telecommunication, and technology. And it has been around for a very long time, and it is a very important agency given that technology now plays tremendously important role. And you just mentioned that China was in charge until basically a few days ago, and that's correct. And given, you know, how China perceives privacy and technology, I was very concerned about this particular election, given that China was supporting the Russian candidate. Luckily, the U.S. candidate won this election by large. So this is really good news.
Let us explore why it is that China first and then Russia wanted control of an international body. You know, the United Nations doesn't have a big reputation in the United States as being effective. You know this. Now, this particular body was in the hands of a Chinese director who you report for the FTD, was using the ITU and his directorship to sell Huawei. Can we anticipate what the Russian director wanted to do if he had been successful? Do the Russians have a Huawei? How do they think about this?
First of all, you're absolutely right that the United Nations has not played an important role for a very long time. And especially during the Trump administration, the United States was not paying that much attention to the UN, which was the best gift for both Russia and China to enter this empty space and to fill this void by positioning themselves and their candidates on a very important positions. And the ITU was one of them that was led by China. And what China was doing, you're absolutely right, they were vouching very much for Huawei. And we already know the danger that Huawei poses to the West. But it's not only that, they were setting standards in telecommunication and technology. They were in charge of regulating the information space. And I have to tell you, one thing that I'm very concerned about is about digital authoritarianism, because who controls the information space controls the narrative, and who controls the narrative basically can provide any information that that country wants. And China, for a very long time, had completely full control within the information space inside China because they fear the Western influence inside China and the very same narrative. So you asked me what Russia might have done. So Russia has a very similar strategy when it comes to digital authoritarianism. So Putin signed a very important law in 2019, basically that particular law that restricts social media platforms in order to protect what he calls it Russian digital sovereignty. And this particular legislation allows Russia to restrict certain messaging that is coming from American social media platforms. So basically, they can impose any fines on social media that actually do not block such content, such as, let's say, calls for suicide, child pornography, or drug use. But actually, that's just one part of the story, because in reality, this particular law allows Russia to remove content that actually contradicts the Kremlin's narrative and the Kremlin's talking points, speaking, you know, of their free speech. So what both China and Russia, what they were trying to do for a very long time in the United Nations, is that they're actually right now working on a legislation on a new, what they call it, cybercrime treaty. But that treaty has nothing to do with cybercrime. That treaty has only to do with a ban of information flow, free information flow, because authoritarian regime absolutely loathe the free speech, absolutely do not want to have any narrative that is coming from dissent groups. So that's number one thing that Russia and China would have been working together should Russia have won these elections.
What I've learned about both Moscow and Beijing is that they keep on coming. And this will not be the last time the ITU is threatened or that the players in the ITU are not asked to come forward. Are you encouraged at the vote? Did you anticipate this scale of victory?
I have to tell you, I did not. I was hoping that the United States would win, but to see that Bogdan Martin received 139 of the 172 votes was really not something that I expected, which gives me a lot of hope that the United States is back and that we have our allies within the United Nations. And I understand many realists and many cynical people about the United Nations are going to say, but who cares about the United Nations because there is no supranational authority to enforce those obligations. Well, it does matter, because if we are not there, China and Russia will be there. And we already, you know, saw in the past how both China and Russia cooperate in the United Nations to rally their allies, to use that for spying activities, to use that, you know, to rally their coalition of supporters. And we don't want that. So I was very, I have to tell you, pleased to see this thing. But still, we have so many challenges within the United Nations. Still, as I stated, next year, there will be this new election, this new legislation that they want to pass, this new law, international treaty on cybercrime. And that treaty, unfortunately, is written after Russia's resolution. So you really need to take a lot of steps not to allow Russia and China to control the internet.
Final detail, because you mentioned the restriction of the internet in Russia, the RUNET, R-U-NET. Do people have access to information freely, or do they have to use VPNs in Russia the way they do in China?
Okay. Yes, so that's fascinating thing. So first of all, let me tell you what RUNET is. RUNET is a Russian version of our web, because Russia does not want to have, Putin does not want to have his people to have access to our internet. But, you know, Russia is Russia, so it's not easy to make such an internet. They tried, they haven't accomplished it yet, they are working on it. But, you know, we still have time. When it comes to the free flow of information inside Russia, it doesn't look good. It looks really bad, because even with the VPN system, it is very difficult to access, because they are illegal, by the way, in Russia. And let me tell you something what happened last week. Russia actually detained a girl, 18 years old girl, who used the VPN to have access to her Instagram, who was a fashion influencer. She posted something that had nothing to do with wars. So it was a signal of their intelligence to show every young person not to use VPN system and to prevent them to have like access to the Western information. So the situation is really, really bad in Russia when it comes to information.
Ivana Stradner is advisor to the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Barrett Center for Media Integrity. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.